This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, Donald Trump does it again. I got to tell you, there's just this amazing dynamic going on that Matt Taibbi has a new newsletter. It's a subscription newsletter. It's called Hate Incorporated. If you just plug in Matt Taibbi newsletter, Hate Inc., H-A-T-E, hate, the word hate, you can get into it. And he's got this incredible story, this absolutely incredible story that, suddenly the reading this thing, the penny completely dropped for me. It was just extraordinary. When I was a kid, 10, 11 years old, 8, 9, 10 years old, a guy who lived down the street from me, a boy who was my age, his name was Dennis. He was sort of the neighborhood bully, and he and I had, sometimes we were friends, and sometimes he'd chase me down the street and beat the crap out of me. And his dad was a pretty rough character. But what we used to do when I was on good terms with Dennis was we'd all go over to his house and we'd watch wrestling on TV. On his black and white TV, and my parents would not have it on in my house, but I used to watch these wrestling shows, and for a while we all thought it was real, and this is what Matt Taibbi's piece is about. It's called Controversy Creates Cash, which is the title of a book about how to make money in the wrestling business, and wrestling is actually theater. It's theater done by big muscled, steroid-laden guys, but it's theater. And there are two basic roles that are played in the theater of big-time wrestling. One is the baby face, the good guy. The short contraction for that's used in the wrestling world is face. And the other is the bad guy, who is known as the heel. So you got the heel and the face. And Taibbi, in his newsletter, he talks about how back in 2015, when Donald Trump first rolled out his campaign, and this goes right up through Christmas time of 2015, he talks about how Donald Trump is doing exactly what he was doing. I mean, he's watching Donald Trump on TV, and he's saying to Matt Taibbi, this guy is doing what I do for a living. Daniel Richards, his persona, his character that he walked into the ring as was called the Progressive Liberal. And he'd go into these small arenas. I'm quoting from Matt Taibbi now. He enters small arenas largely across Appalachia wearing a shirt emblazoned with Hillary Clinton faces, screaming things to fans like, "You vote against your economic interests!" And the hardcore country crowd would go nuts. Richard was and is a heel act, right? The villain. And in Appalachia, being the Progressive Liberal makes you the villain, right? Richard says a heel's job is to bring the heat. Now, I've talked about this a number of times on this program, and you've heard me go off on these rants about this, that back years ago, Louise and I took an absolutely extraordinary writing seminar from a guy named Robert McKee. And he wrote a book called Story based on his seminars. In fact, I took his seminar three times. Louise took it twice, and our youngest daughter took it once. It's extraordinary. And the main point that McKee made was that your hero can only be as good as your villain. So when you're writing fiction, you have to come up with an extraordinary villain. In fact, you kind of do that first. Or if you don't do that first, when you come up with your hero, you have to figure out what the hero's weaknesses are so you can build a villain who can actually be a threat to the hero. So Superman would be boring without Lex Luthor. Batman would be boring without the Riddler or without a series of supervillains. Same thing in big-time wrestling. And the heel has to taunt the face, right? The babyface sometimes responds to provocations with naive dignity, writes Taibbi, not expecting the surprise kick to the face or the crotch that the whole audience knows is coming, right? And then he talks about how Trump did this in 2015. Jeb Bush is married to a Mexican-born woman by the name of Columba. And early in the race, he says, Jeb Bush likes Mexican illegals because of his wife. And Bush goes, what? I'm proud of my wife. That's totally inappropriate. That's not reflective of the Republican Party, right? So the face here is going, what? How did you do that? Or you hit me with a closed fist. That's against the rules. And the referee wasn't looking. Right? This is exactly big time wrestling. And, you know, what does Trump do? Barbara Bush goes on a TV show with Jeb a couple days later, and Bush comes out again and he says, Jeb needs his mommy, right? He's the heel act. And Bush again goes, I won the lottery when I was born 63 years ago, looked up and saw my mom. My mom is the strongest woman I know. So Trump says, this was in the debate, so Trump says, she should be running. And Richards, the big-time wrestling guy, he says, I know that move. You know, Bush didn't know how to handle the situation. He says, the baby face will never throw a punch until the heel does it. But when a baby face doesn't fight back, nobody's going to get behind him. And that's exactly what happened to Jeb Bush. In fact, then Trump went on Morning Joe and said, I thought he was going to push me harder to apologize. In other words, what a wuss. This is literary drama. Audiences, Taibbi notes, love a good heel. They go wild when king douchebag types like Randy Orton stand flexing their pecs and preening in the middle of the ring. Another Trump specialty, the preening, not the pecs. Trump's incessant bragging about his money is the political equivalent of doing a crotch chop in the ring. Look it up, yeah. But almost no one in Blue America spotted this, least of all the press corps. It's like, you know, Taibbi writes about how in the fall of 2015, as Trump was rising in the polls, he saw reporters walking around reading Mein Kampf for the paranoid style in American politics. They were trying to figure out what Trump was doing. And what they should have read was Controversy Creates Cash. It's by Eric Bischoff, a world championship wrestler. And it's a field guide on how to win in wrestling, right? He says, when you watch wrestling, what you see looks fairly simple. This is from the book. It looks like a staged, choreographed fight between two people who supposedly have an issue, something that they're fighting over. What you really don't see is the skill and art that's required to engage the third person in that ring, and that third person is the audience. Without crowd engagement, you got a meaningless story. This is like my saying, you know, if Superman didn't have Lex Luthor, it would be boring. You know, Superman stops a robbery at a 7-Eleven. So what? Right? So everything becomes about building the crowd energy. Without that, your villains and heroes have no juice, and without villains and heroes, you have no crowd energy. Trump, Taibbi says, is a born heel. The exact words that are used in the headlines to describe him right now, a liar, a cheat, a coward, a traitor, those are the words that they use to describe the bad guys in big-time wrestling. Again, this is, here's an example. This is in a speech in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is in December of 2015, just before Christmas. Trump teed off on the bathroom break that Hillary Clinton took during a debate with Bernie Sanders. And he said, I know where she went. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. Too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting. Then he went off on this tangent saying Hillary got schlonged in her 2008 run against Obama. Right. The whole press corps scrambles to red alert, right? The heel says something terrible to the face. The headlines, Trump goes vulgar and swipe at Hitler, at Clinton. By morning, many of the other campaigns issued official comments. The Clinton campaign predictably denounced this humiliation, this degrading language against all women. Trump tweets, once again, the MSM is dishonest. Schlong is not vulgar. When I say Hillary got schlonged, that meant beaten badly. He says Trump tweet was plainly designed to get straight reporters to repeat his bad words for him, even escalate on his behalf, which they did. The Washington Post runs a front page story. Donald Trump schlonged a linguistic investigation. Now, this is the same week that Fukushima was melting down. Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act was passed. We learned that search engines can influence elections. Nobody even talked about it. Everybody in the press was talking about schlonged. So then Trump raises the stakes. He says, when Hillary got schlonged by Obama, I meant she got beaten badly. Now all of a sudden she's gone from getting schlonged to getting schlonged by Obama. So then David Brock jumps into it. And he says, you're calling Barack Obama a black rapist? and a female reporter from Forbes magazine is interviewing a rabbi about what this word means, because apparently it's an old Yiddish word, which means a giant penis, Trump created a free promotion machine. And the news media never seemed, he writes, to know what was going on here. But I would point out, as Taibbi does, that in the news cycle, in this, just on, he's right here, it's just on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox alone, Trump led a boom that saw a 167% rise in ad sales in the 2016 election cycle versus the 2012 election cycle. It exploded. So, and again, his entrance into the Republican National Convention, remember that? He walks down this white-lit corridor through the smoke. Taibbi says, this is identical to the Scott Hall walkout, a famed moment in heel preening, a bad guy who comes onto the stage. His arrival by taxi and jet at the Albuquerque rally, where the jet stands behind him. That's dozens of world WWE events, like Lex Luger arriving by helicopter to body slam Samoan giant Yakonza, who is the, you know, the face. And, you know, Taibbi just lays this stuff out, and he's right. And, you know, I've been putting it in the context of, like, large literature. Taibbi says, no, no, it's worldwide wrestling. So I'm wondering, have you noticed this? I mean, this, I literally have not watched big time wrestling since I was 10 or 12 years old, however old I was when Dennis Lynch and I used to watch it together. But it just like, whoa, yeah, of course. Which raises the question, what does the press do with this? How do you report on a guy who's running a well-known business model? In fact, he's got the owner of the worldwide wrestling thing in his cabinet. I mean, it's not like Trump doesn't know this stuff. You know, Vince McMahon used to run that thing. I think it's his wife who's in Trump's cabinet. And Trump got into the ring with him and sucker punched him. Trump was supposed to be the good guy, and he came in as the bad guy. He came in as the heel. I mean, this is just like so clear. So how do you think the press should be responding to this? We'll talk about that right after the break.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, it's Linda McMahon is in Trump's cabinet. There you go. Surprise, surprise. He's got big time wrestling in his cabinet. He's doing it today. I'll give you some examples right after the break. And welcome back. Let's see here. There's another story that I wanted to just put on your radar screen as Shira's checking out our callers here. It's from the New York Times, and this is from earlier in the week. It's from December 7th. What is that, last Friday or Saturday, something like that. And it's about how we have gone from about in early 2017. Now, consider how short a period of time this is. 2017 was literally a year and a half ago, right? Early 2017, almost 2 years ago. At that point in time, 4% of the robocalls and the spam calls that we were all getting on our phones, 4% were from people who were running outright fraudulent scams. They were calling, trying to get you to give them a credit card to say that you're, you know, even the ones that said, hey, you've been approved for a new credit card, they really weren't going to give you a new credit card. They just wanted enough of your personal information that they could steal your identity. It was 4%. Were these fraudulent phone calls, the ones that are designed to steal from you. 1 year later, in early 2018, it was 30% of all calls. Sean and I have been talking, we both get these things, and they you know, neither one of us answer our phone. If our phone doesn't recognize it, we just wait for the voicemail, and if it's somebody that we know that we just didn't have their phone number in our contact list, then we call them back, right? It's real simple. But, you know, some of these guys and women, some of these people actually leave messages, you know, and the messages are just bizarre. They're just, I mean, it's, but in any case, the principal audience that these people are trying to get, and by the way, now that hospitals can sell your phone number, and I'm convinced. When we moved to Portland here, one of the first things we did was, you know, find a doctor, and it was through a local hospital chain. It was the only way we could find a doctor was to go, it was to enter one of these large practices that's associated with a hospital. And you sign the HIPAA notice and it says, you know, we can sell your information. And literally a week after I did that, suddenly I started getting these calls. I mean, it just exploded. And I'm convinced that's where they got it. And what they're looking for are people who are over 50, ideally over 60, which I was when I moved here. And so, you know, just, you know, a heads up. It's more than an annoyance, writes the New York Times. The FTC in its tracking of reports consumers found that people who fell for the frauds lost an average of $700 each last year, with a total loss in the United States in 2018 of $332 million. You know, we used to get these things in the mail, you know, from the Nigerians. Then it went to the fax machines. I remember when fax machines became a big thing in the early 70s, and I was getting this scam stuff on my fax machine. And now it's coming over your phone, and now it's even coming over your cell phone. And they spoof the number. You know, I'm constantly getting calls from, you know, 503 and then the first three digits of my cell phone number, right? 503 and those first six digits. And so you assume that it's somebody who's close to you. I mean, like physically close to you. It must be one of my neighbors or something. And the first time I answered it, it was a scam call like that. I haven't answered one since then. But beware. Be very careful. We'll be back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Okay, I told you I was going to give you some examples of Trump doing big-time wrestling. And I'll just do this real quickly, and then a bunch of people have called in. We'll put you on the air, and we'll talk about what's going on here. But just consider, this is the headline from this morning's Daily Kos. See, a heel act, the bad guy always makes the grand entrance, and he's the big guy, And here, this is the headline. Joan McCarter wrote this over at Daily Kos, and I'm not saying that she got sucked into it. It's just this is how this is a normal headline. Flailing Trump gives Schumer and Pelosi what should be their negotiating starting point on wall. $0. Democrats Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are headed for the White House today to meet with individual one who spent the early hours of the day preparing for that meeting, tweeting about the topic of the meeting, his great glorious wall. See, the heel comes into the arena and goes, I'm going to smash that guy. I'm going to punch him out. I'm going to, you know, that's the heel act. And that's what Trump was doing this morning on Twitter against Pelosi and Schumer. Here's another one. Laura Clausen, again, a Daily Kos. Elections are over, so the Trump administration is withdrawing troops from the border. Well, of course he is. That was just a PR stunt. And, you know, is the press going to cover this in a big way? No, of course not. They covered it when they put the crews. This guy knows how to do theater. This is just becoming so obvious. Becky in Ooltewah, Tennessee. Am I saying that right, Becky?
That's right.
Hey, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to say that my son played a heel.
Oh, really? In wrestling?
Yeah, in semi-pro, in really small towns. Yeah, he played Kurt Kilgore.
Oh, wow.
And he would just rile people up. Oh, he'd have people in the audience throwing stuff at him.
Yep.
And just going crazy.
Yep.
But I said this, I tweeted this when Trump was running, that this is just professional wrestling.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yep. And the problem, Becky, is that the press doesn't realize this and has no idea how to report on basically what's theater. I mean, it's like going to a play and seeing the play and then writing a story as if the play was actual real life.
Well, my son's a really good actor, you know, and quick on his feet. And he'd go in he had his long hair, and he'd always wear a black suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go in and taunt everybody.
Yeah. It's
exactly it.
Yeah, yeah. That is an amazing story. Becky, thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us.
Well, thank you for being there for us, Tom.
My pleasure, Becky. Thanks so much for the call. That's amazing. I mean, talk about validation. Monty in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hey, Monty, what's on your mind?
How's it going, Tom? Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. This is just theater. But the problem is you can't have a villain. I mean, the problem is the media continues to normalize this. For example, Chuck Todd on Sunday said that what's going on in Wisconsin, it happens all the time. The Democrats do this.
Right, which was a lie. Which was a lie.
It was a total lie. They not only normalized the lie, it's like they believed the lie.
Yep. Well, the problem is that the Republicans have been saying that this happens, that the Democrats have done this kind of power grab, like in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania right now, North Carolina 2 years ago. The Republicans are saying this, right-wing hate radio is saying it, Fox News is saying it, and so I guess we know where Chuck Todd is getting his information. Monty, thanks for the call. Spot on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So how do we deal with big-time wrestling in the White House? I mean, a serious question. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. By the way, just, you know, what's coming up in our show today. Are you prepared for the coming crash? We'll be talking about that in the second hour. David Priest is going to be with us. I think that's how his name is pronounced. It's P-R-I-E-S-S. Maybe it's Price. How to get rid of a president. He's talking about how basically presidents have fallen in the past. We're going to be talking in our third hour today in some depth about the impoverishment of America, how it happened, who is making it happen. There's a new green movement, the green wave. There's just all kinds of stuff going on. And we've got a couple of geeky sciences today that I think you'll find fascinating. People are pooping plastic. What does that mean? And want to live longer? Get cold. Strange stuff. Mark in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, Mark, thanks for listening to WPCB. What's up?
Hi, Tom. So, yes, I totally agree with you about the professional wrestling model. The thing is, guys like Hannity have been doing that for years. That's exactly what Hannity does. He sets up the villain and...
Hannity and Combs.
And he never worries about the truth because it's all theater.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, the last two times I was on Fox News, which is maybe 3 weeks ago and 4 or 5 weeks ago, before I went on, Louise and I sat down and said, okay, you know, I'm not going to be able to make any kind of cogent or thoughtful point. I'm not, you know, I'll get talked down if I try to do anything that's longer than a sentence. You know, if I try to communicate any actual information, they will stomp on me. So I need to come up with a slogan, right? And the one I did about a month and a half ago was the Trump crime family. And it stopped the conversation. The guy went, what? Trump crime family? And literally the next day, Sean Hannity was talking about the Obama crime family. And then I forget the meme that I did the last time. Oh, it was Whitaker, the new attorney general, was guilty of ripping off old ladies or something, little old ladies. But just get those five words out, right? And that was like, it just suddenly hit me. That was big time wrestling too. And I was going in, you know, with my little slogan to beat the other guys. In both cases, by the way, both the narrator, you know, the moderator, the host of the show, and the conservative that I was debating freaked out. In fact, the conservative went, "Where'd you find this guy?" You know, because he had no response to what I was saying. It's the Hannity formula. It's big time wrestling. So all this raises the question, Mark, and I raise this question seriously. How should the press respond to this? I mean, should they? It seems to me, the way I'm responding to it is by educating my listeners and my viewers, so that everybody can spot it when it happens and appropriately discount it. Like this morning, where Trump is rage tweeting that he's got the big match coming up today. You know, Pelosi and Schumer are coming over, and I'm going to kick their butts. We're going to, you know, like that. You know.
Well, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the difference, the North Star for people trying to deal with that is to focus on what's true and not true, and what's morally right and what's immoral.
But see, that's what the face does, and the face always loses when the face does that. That's what Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton did when Trump went after Bush as a wimp and said that Hillary Clinton had gotten schlonged. I mean, that's just...
No, I'm not, I'm not saying to take it seriously, to respond to them in a way that falls prey to them. I mean, there is a precedent in the left for doing something similar, and that's back in the late 60s and early 70s with the Yippies.
They
totally
Jerry Rubin.
Befuddled the Nixon administration and all the conservatives trying to answer the mocking retorts that would come from the Yippies. They had no idea what to do, and they just made asses of themselves, you know, the conservatives.
I remember.
The Yippies. The Yippies won the media. But there was a moral message below the underlying the Yippie movement, which was the war was illegal and unhumanitarian.
Right.
And so I just think if you lose track of what's right and wrong, you can still convey an emotional message. If you look at modern advertising, there's a revolution going on in advertising where it really focuses not on symbols of emotions, but elicits emotions from viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And, it definitely, I agree with you that it's a media contest.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe we start our own wrestling league on the left and just provide some cover so that the legitimate media continues somehow. I don't know.
Just,
I mean, I don't.
You know who else is doing this? Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You know, I was this morning on TV, they were reporting on the hearings where the president of Google is testifying before the House. And
right.
Alex Jones and I believe it was one of the other guys, I think it was Jerome Corsi was sitting next to him. And they were right there in the front row, you know, watching the Google guy testify because they're complaining that Google is suppressing, you know, they're not spidering their websites. I would complain that Google is not spidering. It's not including in their search terms websites like Think Progress and Alternet and Media Matters, you know, left-wing websites. But the bottom line is that they were playing, you know, WrestleMania here, or were trying to, and they certainly have been up to this point.
You got it.
Yeah, amazing. Mark, thanks for the call. That was very insightful. Fred in Minneapolis. Hey, Fred, thanks for listening to AM 950. What's up?
Hi, it's funny that you should bring this up because back when Trump was running for office, I used to go to parties and I would put on a Mexican wrestling mask that I had put glued a ratty piece of red hair to, and I would cut heel interviews on Hillary and the Democrats and the press.
Whoa.
To much laughter.
Yeah.
The reason I'm calling is you left out a really important part of this metaphor,
mm-hmm.
and there is a third person in the ring, and that's the referee.
Ah.
That's what the press is supposed to be, the referee. But when the heel cheats, the referee is always looking the other way.
That's right. The referee is in on it, and he's in on it on the side of the heel.
Well, he's not on the side. He just, somebody distracts the ref. He always happens to be looking the other way.
Right.
And eventually the face gets so frustrated that he cheats back. But the referee always sees that.
Right, and stops him.
He reprimands the face. So, yeah, they reprimand the Democrats, but they never are looking when the heel, Trump, cheats.
Wow. The press has fallen right into this. I mean,
yes, they're the referee. The third important part of all this is that the person enforcing the rules is never looking when the cheater cheats. And the face can have a lump on his head. It's like, look, I have a lump on my head. The ref says, well, I didn't see that.
Right. Yeah, I remember it well. Fred, brilliant.
So we have to call the press out on that. And, you know, we can't let them look the other way all the time and reprimand us. And plus, a lot of times what the face will do is show the tapes of the bad guy cheating or make a lot of fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Call him out for how ridiculous what his lying is.
So ultimately, like I said, it's been 50 years since I've watched big time wrestling. So, but in the end narrative, and I'm going to have to go back and watch some, I think. So, and I'm sure there's a bunch of it on YouTube. So in the end, the face usually wins, right?
Eventually, what happens is the heel always wins the first three or four bouts because the referee doesn't see him cheat.
Right.
And then they have a showdown where both of them get to cheat and there's no rules, and then the face always wins.
Right. And that showdown is going to be Mueller versus Trump, right?
Right. But the thing is, you're supposed to boo the heel. The whole thing falls apart a little bit when you cheer the heel. You're not supposed to do that.
But most of America is booing Donald Trump.
Yes, but there's just enough people cheering him so he can play it down the middle. They call it a cool heel.
That's right. And in fact, that's Taibbi talks about that, how Trump is now trying to play. He goes to his rallies and he tries to play face, but then he constantly slips into heel mode.
Right. If you cheer the heel, he becomes a cool heel and a de facto face, you see.
Yeah.
A lot of the audience, yes.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm just astonished by how knowledgeable our listeners are about this. Fred, thank you so much for the call. It's great to hear from you. Lyle in DeKalb, Illinois, listening to WCPT. Lyle, you have a suggestion on what the media should do about this?
I want to double down on the don't let him control the ref, but I think he's wrong. The media isn't the ref. The ref is the two branches of Congress who can get this guy out of office. The media needs to focus on... what if we knew then what we know now, and what if we know now what we suspect, or what if we know in the future what we suspect now?
Right.
And look at stories that don't allow Trump to string things out.
Right. And don't constantly fall for the distractions, whether it's oh my God, there's a migrant caravan, we're sending troops to the border. Or whatever, just go, you know, kind of shrug and go, okay, here, Donald's doing another stunt. This is his Big Ten wrestling persona.
Yeah, well, there was a senator last night or this morning, a Republican senator, who is saying, talking about, well, you don't trust any information provided by Cohen. Like, this is ridiculous. And you have to nip that in the bud and, not allow him to tell that story.
Well, this is, I mean, the Republicans have launched a full-out assault on democracy, on small-d democracy itself, and we're seeing this in Wisconsin and Michigan. It's absolutely unprecedented, with the exception of 2 years ago in North Carolina. They're doing it in a smaller way in Pennsylvania right now, too. And Chuck Todd saying, oh, the Democrats have done it in the past, is, you know, lying about that on Meet the Press was just absolutely shocking. But there's real stuff going on here. I mean, they're actually trying to take down democracy. Lyle, excellent points all. Thank you for the call. Paul in Woodinville, Washington. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Well, hi, Tom. Fred kind of got to where I was going to go already, and that's that, I guess I'll say this. And eventually the analogy breaks down, but what Fred was saying is that the face has to win eventually.
Right, in order to continue being a face. In order to continue being the good guy. I mean, in fiction, the good guy always has to win.
Right, and the other problem is we don't have a good guy. In other words, the face is always the same guy, and the villain's the same guy. We have the same villain. We have Donald Trump. But we're not going to have the return of Hillary Clinton. And, if you look at the wrestling analogies, the other thing they did was, in the history of faces in World Federation Wrestling, the last one I remember was Hulk Hogan. And remember, they put a Samson thing on Hulk Hogan. Remember the heel? They cut his hair. Either they did cut his hair or they tried to cut his hair. That was the big, ooh, you're trying to cut Hulk's hair. You know, that's the Samson analogy.
Oh, and Jesse Ventura, he was a face, right, Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, Hulk was. Hulk was a good guy. Everybody loved Hulk. And he was, I can't remember who his
villain
heels
was.
Were or whatever. But eventually, the analogy, this actually... Speaking of the Bible, I was just in a Bible study last week, and we were talking analogies, and what the pastor said is, the thing is that one of the things they learn in whatever call it, preacher school or whatever, seminary, is that analogies, they always break down, and this is real life.
Mm-hmm.
So this, if we keep trying to assign more and more, Robert Mueller is, if we keep trying to assign more to the comic strip that this each player, then we really are buying into it. This is real life.
No, I absolutely agree. But there's a narrative arc here that is not just out of wrestling, Paul. This is you'll find the same story in the Bible. I mean, this goes back. This is part of our DNA. This story.
Yeah. Oh, of course. But in few cases, we do see cases in the Old Testament where a bad guy wins.
Yeah, David versus Goliath. Well, actually, the good guy wins there.
And And that's dark. And that is dark.
But Goliath won and won and won and won, and then David finally took him down. I mean, you know, he was the heel. David was the face.
Yeah. Well, in Israel, enough bad guys won. If you read the Book of Judges.
Yeah.
That's why they actually had to have a king. Enough bad guys won.
That's right. You're absolutely right. So, oh God, does that mean that we're heading toward a king? Oh no, you're right, Paul. Analogies always break down. It's just really useful, I think, to understand the structure of this meta story here. Paul, thanks so much for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Huh, Sean asked, do you think Trump wants to be king? Well, of course, then he could pardon himself. Or he could even say, off with their heads! Oh, my God. And welcome back. I've got CNN on the monitor in the studio here. I just keep it on just in case, you know, a nuclear war erupts or something. I can see what's going on. And it's a close shot in the White House. It looks like it's maybe in the Oval Office. I'm not sure. Of Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer. And Trump has got his hands out and he's doing this thing. He's doing his big time wrestling thing with Chuck Schumer. And Schumer's sitting there trying to be the diplomat, trying to be the statesman, trying to, oh my goodness. I mean, this is craziness. Mary in Tucson, Arizona. Hey Mary, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I got awakened this morning at 6:15 a.m. My mom has a landline because she has some monitors hooked up. And the landline told me out loud that Mary Doherty was calling.
That would be
Mary
your mother.
Doherty.
Oh, that's you.
It was on my mother's phone.
So they spoofed your phone call, your phone number.
Yes, and when I picked up to see who the heck it was a phone that said Microsoft was calling.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the big scams. You've got a problem, you've got a virus on your software, you need to buy our Nate got one of those calls. You've got to buy our antivirus software or let us walk you through it on the online, you know, take your browser and go to this website and boom, suddenly you're infected,
yeah.
You know. So
well, I don't do any of that because I do Geek Squad.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, the fact that it announced that I was the one calling the landline.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be a clue.
Yeah,
this is apropos of our earlier, the story that I shared with you earlier about the spam calls. How many spam calls are you getting today, Mary?
About 20.
Seriously? Wow.
Between my cell phone and the landline, I get about 20.
Wow. And is your mom elderly? Does she get more as a consequence
92.
Of that?
92.
She's 92, and so she's getting a lot of these spam calls?
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me at all. That's remarkable.
And I just tell her if she doesn't recognize the name or because her landline announces who's calling.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't recognize it, don't answer it.
So, on this one... Her landline announced that her daughter, that would be you, was calling. And you were, and you happened to be there, so you answered the phone to see what the heck is going on.
I now live with mom that we, you know, because she's 92, she can't really live on her own anymore.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, that's very good of you, Mary. It's amazing. And you've successfully avoided getting sucked up into any of these scams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know...
Well, can't say that word on
here. Usually, if it's a human being, I just say the next call is going directly to the Attorney General's office.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not.
It doesn't stop anything, but.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not certain if you said a dirty word on the air or if it was just a noise. I'm assuming it was just a noise. But Mary, spot on.
It was a noise.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Pshaw. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for the call and thanks for the, you know. Yeah, this is happening. This is what happens when, you know, this has exploded, right? We went from 4% to over 30% in 1 year. The 1 year that a grifter is our president, the grifters suddenly start calling us all the time. I wonder if there's a cause-effect relationship there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. So I want to recap this just so you get it. This is Matt Taibbi's piece. It's called Controversy Creates Cash. And he starts out with this interview with Daniel Richards, who was a heel, was a bad guy in wrestling back in the day. Actually, you know, I think I've recapped this enough. So let me just share a few other stories with you, some of the other things that are going on in the world here to wrap up this hour. Wells Griffith is Donald Trump's advisor on energy and climate. And there's this big climate conference going on in Poland right now. And Wells Griffith went over there to give a speech to the climate conference in Poland and got up on the podium, got up on the stage in front of all these people who are, you know, representing countries all over the world talking about climate issues. And he said, "We strongly believe," speaking, you know, on behalf of the United States. Now let that sink in for a moment. Said, oh, this is so funny. Breaking news, CNN, the Chiron, Trump Dems clash in extraordinary White House meeting. Big time wrestling. It's going on right now in the White House. And CNN is reporting it's the fight of the century. It's amazing. Anyhow, according to the Washington Post report, Griffith took the podium Monday and said, "We strongly believe that no country should have to sacrifice economic prosperity or energy security in pursuit of environmental sustainability." And when he said that, the room erupted in laughter. Right. I mean, this is real life. Marty in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hey, Marty, you wanted to, well, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, I heard, after I heard it on your program, I started hearing it on like MSNBC, but people are starting to see that Donald Trump behaves like a mob boss.
Yeah.
He is like the mob boss in chief now. He's advising people that cooperate, you know, with law enforcement. He's calling them weak. He's, you know, trying to urge people not to cooperate, you know, with the, you know, Justice Department's investigations.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a mob boss.
Yeah. And this might be the thing that gets him ultimately, is he keeps doing this heel routine, this bad guy routine. And,
you know, nice little life you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to,
you know, essentially. And but Mueller's taking it very seriously, and I think he's going to take him down. Marty, great observation. Bob in Portland, Oregon, listening on X-Ray FM. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Yeah, Bob, Tom, I'm a screenwriter, a local screenwriter. I've got a movie out. I took the same course you did, the Robert McKee course, some years ago.
Brilliant, isn't it?
And listening to your discussion about the good guy, bad guy, powers of, you know, antagonism, protagonism, but you know, the good guy doesn't have to be a person. It can just be a force. It can be, in fact, it could be the entire group of voters in the United States.
Or the bad guy. I mean, the bad guy could be a shark or a tornado.
Yeah, the shark, tornado, a hurricane.
Yep.
It can be the forces of nature, you know. So
are you suggesting that we could flip the script by making the bad guy not Donald Trump, but instead like global warming or something?
Well, global warming is a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the forces of antagonism that the good guy's got to compete with, but he's got more than one person to deal with.
Yeah, and Trump is refusing to take it on, so he's not playing the role of the good guy. And if enough people believe, you know, acknowledge that global warming is not only real but a threat to humanity, then Donald Trump becomes a failure at being a good guy. Fascinating stuff. Bob, thanks for the call. It's a fascinating conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.